I can't convince you to do something that I don't really think is important. And I think that's part of dentistry too. You have to truly believe that what you're doing is going to make a difference, a positive influence in that patient. And if you don't, well, then don't suggest it. And that's hard. It is. Because some procedures are more profitable than others. But if I don't feel like I'm making a huge benefit, there's not going to be a transformation. Yeah, I can't believe in it. I can't sell it. It doesn't work.
Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences.
So in dentistry, sales is kind of one of those cringe words, like, and in business, you know, I'm not a dentist, Dr. House, and yet it's a cringe word to me, and it has been, and I've had to figure out how to level up my thinking so I'm not scared to be a salesperson, or because no one wants to be viewed that way, right? You know, if your patient walks in and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're just like a salesperson, like that wouldn't feel good. But the reality is, if we don't know how to sell at a high level, which is basically communicate so that we can get our patients to, I mean, the fundamental premise of selling is that we believe it's going to be the best thing for our patients, right? We've already diagnosed this is what they need and send their best interest. So what did you say that Zig Ziglar said?
See, I really like Zig Ziglar. Old school. But he says something really important. He says, if you have something important to sell, then you have a moral obligation to learn how to sell it. And so I feel like that's true in all healthcare, because we have a moral obligation to explain to patients what the better tomorrow is for them, because they have no understanding what's possible. If you listen to a lot of those sales, I get it. I don't want to be the salesman from Black Swan, because he's so harsh and manipulative. And of course, he's the hostage situation guy, so he's supposed to be manipulative. I get that. But I just feel like sales, it shouldn't be this dirty word. It's our moral obligation to be able to show people what's possible so that they can be healthier. And there's no way for them to know that unless we explain it.
Okay, so I know it's been a challenge for me. Has it ever been a challenge for you? Like early on, the idea of presenting treatment or feeling like you have to level up your sales technique or ability, was that ever something that inwardly you were just like, oh, that just feels weird?
I mean, it still feels weird sometimes. I don't like to be manipulative in any way. I want patients to be free to make their own decision. And yet, when you have somebody that comes in with like a mouthful of silver fillings and fractures and they're 55 years old, you know that they're the tipping point. And you know that in 20 years, if nothing happens, half of those teeth will be gone. So you have this obligation for them to understand, and they don't. You know, nothing hurts. Everything's fine. What are you talking about? They're just silver fillings. I've had them forever. Well, that's exactly why we need to do something. We need to make sure that you keep them for the next 20 years. So that's a sales, because I am going to benefit from doing that work. At the same time, I feel like they're really the one benefiting by still being able to eat at 60, at 70. So you have to come back to that. It is my responsibility to tell them the truth. And I think as an older dentist, it's easier for me to say that because I know I've witnessed it. Whereas at a 25-year-old dentist, I hadn't really witnessed it. I'd read about it, but I hadn't witnessed it happening. And now I've seen it. And so I think I am more proactive.
Now that seems, again, I could be wrong, but categorically like types of care that isn't as elective. It's more like, you know, it needs to be done. What about where it could just be more cosmetic? Do you still feel the same conviction to go to bat for the patient if it's something that it seems like they're wanting?
I do, again, because they have no understanding what's possible. You know, I've always looked like this. It doesn't occur to me that I could look better. But I also feel like it's really important that I make sure they know what it means for me to cut their teeth down if I have to. It's irreversible. And so I try and give them a picture of what that looks like. I do models. I put things in their mouth so they can see. But having confidence is huge for everyone. Being able to smile at your grandkids, being able to ask for a raise, all of those things are central to who you are and what you need in life. And so being able to speak and be proud of your smile matters. And so it's my job to tell you, but I don't want to force you to do something because maybe it isn't important to you. Some people it's not important to. That's fine.
So that's like a clear cut when it comes to like a service you're offering. Would it be different for you if it was selling your personal services? Let's say all of a sudden you are tutoring or you're mentoring or you're coaching someone. I don't know. Is it different to you or is it just still the same?
I don't do that really. So I can't really say that. I mean, I do some coaching, but I don't really charge for it at this point. My son, however, is a math tutor and he charges a lot for it. And he is very comfortable asking for it. And I asked him one time, you know, how are you this confident? And he goes, because I know that I will change the trajectory of this kid's life. If they are good at math, the world is open to them. And if they hate math, all of a sudden, all kinds of doors will close. And so he has that conviction of, I'm going to make it so you love math and I'm going to get you an A in this class. But more than that, I've just opened the doors. And so he's very confident. But he, again, it's that moral conviction that he has a responsibility here. And I think that's harder depending on what you sell and what services you're offering. But if you have something that you feel really affects people's lives, then yeah, you need to learn how to sell it.
Well, so that's the interesting thing here is that, you know, like my dad is like the salesman of salesmen and he started off in M&M's, the candy company, and people come up to him like, Paul, how is it that you feel okay selling candy? And he's like, well, I've been to their, you know, factory or facility or manufacturing plant, and I know that their quality control is like utmost. Like, I don't think candy is great for everybody. I don't think it's the best thing dietary wise. He's like, but if someone's going to have candy and they have Mars candy, I know that it's like the best ingredient. Like, he was still sold and believed that like the company is good. The, you know, their quality control is excellent. You know, so it's like, he didn't have to be on board with, oh, I help create cavities. Like, I'm such a wicked person. It's like, well, no, if I'm going to sell candy, Mars is a better company than, you know, he didn't like Hershey's. So I just remember thinking like, oh, wow, if you can somehow find a way to even believe when you're a candy salesman, then gosh, when I was selling toothbrushes, because I was like, I didn't believe. I didn't really think it mattered much that I was helping a dentist save 20 cents on a toothbrush. So I think that was one of the things that was a stall for me. And the other one, you keep saying like, I don't ever want to be manipulative. Well, to me, it's not about even being it. It's about being perceived that I'm manipulating. And I think the hard thing for me was just like, how do you separate that there is self-interest in there? Like, how could there not be? I benefit if someone buys my product. But that's so weird to me because when I'm looking for a coach or when I'm looking for a great product, I'm not thinking, oh yeah, but if I buy this product, the founders, the owner, the company, the coach benefits. I just want what they have. Like, and the gift they can give me is that they believe and they're confident that what they're offering is good, you know? And so if they show up insecure, but it really is a good thing, that only hurts me because now I'm like, oh, maybe they don't really believe in it, or maybe it's not that good.
And that's terrible because then you're scared of the whole industry, I think, when you have a bad salesman or a manipulative salesman. But if I have somebody who's confident and really tells me why this is so important to my life and I buy it and I'm happy, yeah, that's really nice to have that kind of improvement in my life. I think about your toothbrush program. It really did affect my practice a lot. I don't think that saving 20 cents on a toothbrush made a big difference, but sending patients a gift of a toothbrush with their name on it, that was important. It made them feel important. And when you do things that make people feel important, I think that matters. And so I like your program. And I don't think it's selling when you say, hey, this is how you make patients feel important and want to come to your practice so that you can do great work, so you can make them healthier. And my physician is the same way. They take good care of me and they tell me products and medicine and whatever that will make my life better. I think they're selling to me too.
Well, and that's where, like, Zana, the only reason why I came up with what I've come up with to help practices is because I had such a strong I don't care that, like, just selling manual brushes wasn't enough for me. Developing an amazing electric toothbrush wasn't enough for me. I still didn't want to sell it as a brush based off of the features and the benefits so that practices what could sell it to their patients and make $10. Like, that model, I didn't care about that. So I kept, like, so in some ways, me being like, I'm not going to sell anything or promote anything unless I really actually believe that it's going to be able to provide something that's distinct, something that's different, provide a real benefit to a dental practice, which is like, wow, your patient's like, I love my dentist. You know, maybe they get emotional. Maybe they decide to spend the time to actually write you a handwritten thank you note because they feel moved. Like, that's what, so in some ways, me not being okay selling something that I didn't care about was a gift, because it got me, like, to actually elevate my business model of what would I do then that I would feel good about.
Sell things that you don't believe in or care about, because you can't. I mean, I can't convince you to do something that I don't really think is important. And I think that's part of dentistry too. You have to truly believe that what you're doing is going to make a difference, a positive influence in that patient. And if you don't, well, then don't suggest it. And that's hard. It is, because some procedures are more profitable than others. But if I don't feel like I'm making a huge benefit, there's not going to be a transformation. Yeah, I can't believe in it. I can't sell it. It doesn't work.
And I think that's where it's helped me when I'm, like, me focused. I almost get too caught in my head and too, like, oh, what are they going to think? But when I'm thinking about them, and I'm thinking about the transformation they want. So whether it's with Zana and it's like, okay, you want referrals, this is a no-brainer. Or if I'm thinking about, you know, some of the coaching or the communities that I'm leading, it's like, I'm looking at that individual. I'm thinking, if you really do feel alone, if you really do feel separate and isolated, and you feel like you have a message, but you don't know how to express that message, or you don't know how to keep believing day in, day out because you feel insecure. Like, when I start thinking about their struggles, and I start thinking about their pain, then it's like, well, I want to let them know, hey, there's an answer. Like, I have something that will help you. But when I lose sight of that, and it's just like, oh, what, you know, why is it priced this much? Or I just start overthinking, and I lose, I feel like, a sense of bearing. And then I get into this whole, like, I don't want to sell. And it's just dumb. It's just bad thinking.
I think pricing is a big deal, what you're talking about. And I do feel like you have to make enough money that you feel comfortable. So you can't say, because we say this with the insurance industry all the time, when you devalue something that I do, then it doesn't feel good. And then I feel like I'm cutting corners. If you pay me $30 for a pro fee and I pay my hygienist $50 for the pro fee, suddenly that doesn't feel good to me. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it's a benefit for me. It has to be a benefit for both of us. It has to be a benefit for everyone involved. So at the end of the day, I mean, the reason JD charges so much for his tutoring is because he doesn't take very many clients. And he used to have a whole bunch of clients and he charged less, but then he's an actuary, so he doesn't have that kind of time. So he charges more. There's fewer of them, but it's a benefit for everyone. And I think that's really a piece of it. You can't, don't sell things that you lose money on, because it then you feel bad about it. You know, at the end of the day, it's wonderful if everybody feels good about it, which I always think is exactly the opposite of what my husband says a negotiation is. When he goes into a mediation or negotiation, he says, at the end of the day, everyone should feel terrible. And that's when we've done a good job. But that's a mediation. In sales, in anything else, everybody should walk away feeling good. And so if you're underpriced, if you're not making money on it, then you can't do it. You can't offer the level. You can't do it. So I think it's worth paying for things that are worthwhile. I pay more for my healthcare because it's such a big value to me. I don't know. I'm sure that I pay more for some things and I pay less for other things because I don't care. But if I value it and it's going to be a win, then I'm willing to pay more for something.
Well, and that's the interesting thing. If you look at the psychology of sales and the psychology of pricing, is that what they found is like if someone is part of like, let's say a mastermind, and that mastermind costs $20,000 or $30,000 versus someone that's part of a mastermind that costs $5,000, the $5,000 member is actually much more critical of like, oh, I needed to get more out of this. Where the oftentimes a $25,000 or $30,000 person is more committed, and they're not as actually like harsh about the petty things. Because I don't know, it's almost like, yeah, I'm paying at a high rate, and I just don't know. It's almost like you're just less petty about it. I don't know how to say that. And yet there's some things, even when it comes to like gifts, where, you know, if I'm trying to get something nice for my wife and it's like the same exact item, I almost want something that feels expensive, that seems, I don't want to get ripped off, but I'm just saying I want to go with a brand that has more of like even a luxury price positioning, because it feels nicer. If she looks it up on Amazon and realizes it was $30. And again, you're incredibly practical. So I think on this, you'd probably be like, if it's the same thing practically, I would rather just get the cheaper item.
But again, it depends on what it is. Absolutely. But to your point, like we find in the Dental Association, if we don't charge anything for class, people don't come. They say they're going to come, but then they don't. So there has to be something, like it has to feel worthwhile. And when you pay for something, you value it more. It's one of the weird things about whitening. The whitening products don't cost me that much, but I've discovered if I charge a low amount, people are like, it doesn't work. Well, why didn't it work? Because they didn't do it. They have the trays, they have the whitening. They just didn't bother to do it because it price-wise, it didn't seem very important to them. But if it's more, then you just feel this commitment. I bought this thing, I need to do it. And all of a sudden it works better. It doesn't, it's the same product. It's just, I charged more. And so you feel more committed to do the 2 weeks of bleaching than you do if it's less. And there's a price point in there. And sometimes I miss it, which is crazy to me, but it does seem to be true.
What I found is like, I also put like my goofy, irrational fears on other people. And the second I started realizing like, look, I pay to learn. I pay to grow. I pay for coaching and I invest in that. And there's people like me that are wanting help on their journey. And whether that's a patient coming in and realizing, hey, I need help because I'm not really in a good place with my dental health, then you're the one that gets to take them to where they want to go. And they can't do it on their own. And when it comes to personal growth, it's the same exact thing. It's like someone is living this story of theirs, and they realize that there's something that's stopping them. There's something that's in the way. And then all of a sudden they're looking, who can help me get past this? Who can help me overcome this obstacle? And if you can, then unashamedly, you can be like, I can help you.
But if you charge me $20 for it, I may not feel like you can help me. So there is a price point that makes me feel like it's valuable. And if it's valuable, then I will put the work in versus if it's not valuable and I'm not paying hardly anything, then I don't really feel the need to do it. I'm not going to show up for things because it doesn't really matter. And I don't always know where that price point is, but I do think that's it. There has to be this commitment on the patient or the patient or the protege. What is the person that you're coaching called? The coachee, the mentee, that person, it has to be, there's some onus on them to pay for something so that they do it. You made a good point though. When somebody comes in and they're in trouble, that's an easy sell. Really, your cardiac surgeon has easy sells. You come in, you're having a heart attack, you're going to buy what they're selling. But you have somebody come in and they don't know there's a problem. That's a harder thing to explain. That's a harder thing to sell. And it's harder for you to explain, yeah, I know everything's good now, but here's what I see. And sometimes, and this is a reality, sometimes they have to experience it before they get it. They have to lose a tooth to be like, oh, I get it now. And that sucks, but it does seem to be true.
But that's something that as a healthcare provider, you understand, but that's like it's like an axiom in sales. If you can identify the pain, like you can't, again, even to get biblical, Jesus is like, I came to those that know that they're in need of a physician. If someone doesn't feel like they're sick, I can't help them. I'm not going to try to convince someone that they need me. And in that same exact way, it's like in sales, if you don't know what someone's pain is.
What's interesting in medicine and dentistry is sometimes the patient doesn't understand because it's the way their life has always been. Mm-hmm. So patients that their teeth don't meet, like they have this an anterior open bite. So So only a couple teeth in the back meet. And they'll come in and tell me they're allergic to chicken. They're not allergic to chicken. They just can't chew it. And so they gag and it gets stuck in their throat. But this has been their life since they were a baby. They don't understand that there's a possibility of something different. And so it's up to me to paint that picture. Now they may decide, I don't care. I'm just going to not eat chicken. And that's fine. But then you're wondering, what else are you not eating? I mean, are you just obsessing on mashed potatoes because you can't chew? Those are things that patients have to, they don't know any different because this has been their whole life. So it's an interesting opportunity. As sales are just complicated for sure. But I think we have a moral obligation to do it. I mean, as people that take care of the health of other people.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.